the Lord showed me that I'm not an expositional preacher normally. I like to take and dissect the word verse by verse. And typically when I pastored, what I did is we took a book of the Bible and we went through it. Kind of like J. Vernon McGee did on the radio, you know, for many years. But he's one of my heroes, by the way. But the Lord showed me that we needed to talk about application. Application of his word. You know, too often today we rely on a lot of things that are not there. You know, I saw the verse that was put up there from 1 Corinthians, to examine yourself before you come to the Lord's table. A good practice is to examine yourself every day. Examine yourself every night before you go to bed. How did this day go? What could have gone different? You know, and that's one way to worship and praise the Lord. As you go into sleep, you're realizing this is what I did good and I did well based on the Lord's word, but this is where I failed him. Because, you know, no matter how long you've been a Christian, we fail the Lord at times. And we know because Holy Spirit tells us. Holy Spirit says to us, you know, that wasn't the right way to handle that. And we're going to go through some things. So the title of the message for me is very simple. Praise the Lord. Give praise to the Lord all the time. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, and by the way, before I start, let me give you this. I'm going to be reading from the NLT, the New Living Translation. I don't know if any of you have that translation. I'll give you a little bit of background so you know what the NLT is. What I have read about the NLT is that there was a doctor that, as he went to work, in New York, he would take the subway, and he would get on the subway, and on his way to work, he will take the Bible, the King James Bible, and he will take it and put it in words that his daughter would understand, because when he got home at night, he would read the Bible to his daughter in words that she would understand. She would be able to comprehend as a child. So it was a paraphrase originally, and I do have one of the original ones that says New Living Paraphrase. It doesn't say translation. For some reason, they put translation, and that helped me realize something. Being bilingual, every translation that we have of the Bible, no matter what the language is, there's some paraphrase in it. Because there is no way that you could do a verbatim translation and make sense of it. Because it was written in a different way. There was things that were omitted that we had to add in order for us to comprehend it, to understand it better. So I still don't call it a translation, but for the purpose of communication, you know, I'm going to be using the New Living Translation, okay? So that you know that. So Psalm 103, verse 1 says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name." That's one of the psalms that David wrote. Started it out that way. And many of his psalms, he started with praise the Lord. Always giving praise to the Lord. Our lives has to be a praise unto the Lord. Everything that we do has to be a praise unto the Lord. So if you want to turn with me to Psalm 148, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. And this is what the Lord says to us through this psalm. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him from the skies. Praise Him, all the angels. Praise Him, all the armies of heaven. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you twinkling stars. Praise Him, skies above. Praise Him, vapors high above the clouds. Let every created thing, okay, give praise to the Lord, for he issues his command and they come into being." He spoke it into being. On a side note there, creation was spoken by God. But when he came to man, he actually got his hands involved in creating man. So we were special. And one of the things that I realized about creation is that he built our home before he put us in it. You know, he didn't put the carriage before the horse. He got the horse and then he added the carriage to it, you know. So he did it. There was an order to things. And God is a God of order. A lot of times we think he's not. You know, I think one of the things I've heard that drives me crazy is when somebody says, well, this is the way I came to the Lord. I'm not going to change because he took me this way. Well, we're going to find out that he made us a new creature. As a new creature, there's got to be change. And the change is the evidence of what he's done in our lives. So back to Psalm 148, you know, if you take a walk in the morning and you hear the birds sing, I do this every morning when I take my dog out in the morning. I listen to the birds sing. I live in a very rural area. I mean, everything is dirt around it. If you look at my car, there's no way to keep it clean. So, you know, you hear the birds sing. You feel that breeze, especially now with the coolness of the air. You feel that breeze hit your face, and it feels good. You feel the sun on your skin during the day, you know, as you're walking, even though the breeze is there. You notice the details. He is in them all. Every single detail of creation, he has his hand in it. He has his hand in it. Every single part of creation sings, praise the Lord, in its own special way. Very different than us. You know, and we ourselves, we sing to the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all my soul. You know, and all that is within me. We sing to the Lord all the time. And we all do it in a different way. Some of us do it in song. Some of us do it in throughout our devotion. But there's many different ways, and we're going to get to that. If you take a walk at night, you look up in the sky, you see the stars, you see the moon, you see the vastness that's out there, you know, especially out there in the country where there's no lights. You look up to the sky, you can see almost every star. You know, you see the shooting stars, and then you see the airplanes also, but, you know, most of the time you see the shooting star. You can't help to wonder, wow, this is amazing. You know, what a great God we're serving, that he can create this just by speaking it into being. You know, he's you know, we're talking about something that he said, I want this to be, and it was. And he didn't do it all in one day. He took 6 days to do it. One thing at a time. He said, oh. And every time he said he finished a day, he would go back and look at his, this is a good thing that I did. And he would go, I guess, go to sleep. And the next morning comes up, he starts working again. Pretty much like we do, you know, ourselves. And he would take the second day and look at it again. Oh, this is good. But when he got to man, he said, when he got to the sixth day, I'm sorry. When he got to the sixth day, he didn't say this is good. He says, this is very good. You know, he looked at it. He said, this is very good. This is almost like saying, the home is ready now for me to bring my children, my creation, you know. And so he's a very special God. He holds everything. He holds it in his hands. He holds it together. He's the one that says, here's my hand, and the whole universe fits in the palm of his hand. I mean, can you picture that? You know, we talk about David and Goliath, right? I'm watching this series now that's called The House of David. I don't know if any of you have watched it, but it's not biblically set 100%, and they tell you at the beginning that they have taken certain liberties for the sake of telling the story. But it's a very good story as they tell it. But you see the giant, you know, and this guy probably would not fit in here. in this room, how tall he is. And then you see, you know, the soldiers about waist high on the giant, you know, or even you know, maybe knee high or something like that. But the thing is that we look at it and we say, wow, that's a big man if you look at MTV. But picture this: God hold the universe in his hand, right? That means he had that giant in his hand. He dictated what happened to that giant. It just had to take faith. It had to take application of God's word for that giant to be slain, you know? But he's the one that did it, okay? As we praise him for what he has done. We sang a song, right? He died for us so that we could live. And that's the key. He died so that we could live. He bled for us so that our debt could be paid. If not, we would still be indebted to the enemy. He was forsaken so that we could be forgiven. He was rejected so that we could be adopted into the family of the King of Kings. You know, we are a family. Yesterday I was at a yard sale, and there was a church that was having a yard sale. So I stopped, you know, and I started talking to the pastor that's there and the people that are there. And they're doing it to raise money for the community, for certain things in the community. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, this is my family that I had never met. It's like going overseas and meeting somebody from your past that you never met, because when you were born, they were already gone to another country, right? And you go and say, wow, you know, this is my family. Whether I like it or not, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have accepted the fact that He died for you, that He bled for you to pay your sins, listen, you're my family. And if you, I always tell people, if you don't like me now, you're gonna be in trouble, because God is gonna move you next to me when we get to heaven, you know. But we are a family. We are a family. I remember there was a lady that lost her house in a fire from the church here. Okay. The first thing when Pastor John contacted me, the first thing I said is, what does my sister need? Because, you know, we have to be ready to fill the needs of those that are in need. And he told me, I think right now she's okay. And I believe the Lord has blessed you with taking care of you and providing for you. And praise the Lord for that, you know. We have to praise the Lord for those things. Not just for our things, but for the things that others receive. Because the Lord is not just ours. The Lord is not just mine. He's ours. You know, He's our Lord. He's our Creator. He is our King. You know. And He is the one that's comforting us. We talk about sometimes about it, about God, like He is just one person, but He is manifested in three different ways, and all three of them is one. Sometimes we forget that. We talk about God like, well, Old Testament, you know, that's God. New Testament, okay, that's Jesus. So what about now? We talk about Holy Spirit like He is a thing, and He's not. He is a person. Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. And all three of them were there when the world was created. Why? Because God was there. And God is all three of them. So I got off my notes here. So we got to remember that we got to praise the Lord because we stand in victory that He has won. You know, We stand in a victory that He has won, a battle that He has fought and He has won, and we stand in it. The story did not end at the cross for Jesus. You know, the story went on. Why? Because He is alive. You know, the grave did not hold Him down. The grave is empty because He was removed from the grave, but the grave is empty because He walked out of the grave. He walked out, physically walked out. You know, that is a victory. If he wouldn't have walked out, we would still be bonded to the devil. That's what frees us. That's what gives us the freedom that we have today. You know, we pray for our country, and you know, one of the things that I pray constantly for our country is that we would be free, that we would continue to have the freedom that we have to preach the word. There's many countries already that are being persecuted. We are being persecuted in some ways, but it's nothing like some countries that people are being physically. I believe it's Thailand, that they're crucifying people now for being a Christian. In China, they kill them. China, they have to memorize the Bible because they can't be caught. If they're caught with just one page of the Bible, they are put to death. And there's countries like that, you know, that we sometimes don't even hear about it because we don't want to hear it. You know, we have enough issues in our country to go bother with some other countries. But we need to know these things because, you know, that's like a virus that's going to spread. Little by little, it starts spreading, and eventually, it's going to hit our country. You know, until 9/11, we had never had an attack on our country here. Every war was fought outside of our country. Every attack was done outside of the country. Every big type of protest was done outside of the country. But never in the country. And in 9/11, they hit us. So, you know, we see the signs of the time of Jesus' return. And we need to be ready. We need to have our lamps full of oil so that they're lit so that he can find us when we come. You know, I sat down a couple of weeks ago and watched the movie Left Behind again. You know, and I'm looking at it and I'm realizing there's so many people, you know, and the Bible says that not everybody that comes and knocks on my door is going to come in. Some of you, I'm just going to say, get away from me. I never knew you. No matter what you did, because there's a lot of people doing good things, but they're doing good things with the wrong motive. You know, when you believe in Christ, you go out and you do works. But works don't get you anything other than the fact that you are doing what God wants you to do. You're being obedient. And you're pleasing God. That's what you're getting out of works. Works is not going to get you anywhere other than pleasing your father. You know, every child wants to please their father. You know, and if they're out to please their father, and their father's not paying attention, which that doesn't happen with God, by the way. But if they go out to please their father and their father's not paying attention, well, they're going to do things that are maybe negative to get the Father's attention. See, with God, we don't have to do anything negative because when we do positive things with God, He's got our attention and He loves on us and He pours His blessing. He opens up the doors, the floodgates of heaven just open up and blessings pour over us. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that maybe somebody on the side of the road needs help to stop. No matter where you're going, you know, you stop and you help them. You stop and you help them because that might be a chance to tell somebody, hey, you know, there's a God that loves you, a God that created you, and He loves you, and He wants you to be His son. He wants you to be His, you know, His daughter, whatever the case may be. And you invite them to come to your church. And if they say, well, I don't live here, you Google a church in the area where they live that you feel comfortable with, and you say, well, why don't you go to this church and start getting involved, start hearing what God has for you. You know, and that's our job. We have been commissioned. Every person in here has been commissioned through the Great Commission to go into the world and make disciples. It doesn't say tell somebody how to be a disciple. It says make a disciple. And then you got to teach them. You got to baptize them. Everybody in here can baptize. I don't know if you know that or not, but anybody in here could baptize. Because that's what the Great Commission says. Go into the world and make disciples of all nations. You know, you are able to take somebody and baptize them. And we can't sit on our hands, especially in the times that we're in. We have got to be proactive Christians. You know, we cannot be Christians on a Sunday and then the rest of the week forget about Christ. You know, a lot of people think that Sunday is their day of rest. You're wrong. Sunday is the first day of the week. It's the day that you come and celebrate what God did for you last week. Sunday is the day that you come and gather together with your friends and worship together and praise the Lord together. And you know, and you got to praise Him all the time. Colossians 3:17. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, 3:17. It says, and whatever you do or say, whatever you do or say, not just the physical thing, but also your mouth speaking, right? Whatever you do or say, do it as representatives of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. We are ambassadors. An ambassador doesn't keep his mouth shut. An ambassador speaks and tells people and lets people know what's going on. You know, you cannot just walk through this world calling yourself a Christian and not doing what Christ would do. He didn't, in 3 years, He did more than I know that I have done in pretty much a lifetime, you know. I've been a Christian since 1979, and I accepted Christ. You know, I was sharing before that with someone that my wife came into my life. I met my wife in high school, and I was going in a very poor direction in my life. And when I met my wife, I went home and I told my mom, this is the woman I'm going to marry. And my wife goes, my mom laughed at me because I was basically a playboy, you know. You just, every week I had a different girlfriend, you know. And my mom laughed at me and said, okay, we'll see you next week. Well, 25 years later, here we are still. That was in 1974 that I met her. And here we are still together. You know, it hasn't been easy, I'm going to tell you, for her or for me. I know that. I know it hasn't been easy for her. And she tells me, it's been easy for her. But let me tell you, I know me. I know it hasn't been easy for her. You know? But here we are. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the glue that has held us together. Jesus Christ is the center of our lives. I love Jesus Christ more than I love my wife. And my wife loves Jesus Christ more than she loves me. And I am very happy for that, because that's what keeps us together, the fact that we obey the King of Kings and what He tells us to do. We don't obey our thoughts. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, the word says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to Him. I'm sorry, let me start over. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. Let them be a living sacrifice and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Be a living sacrifice unto Him. Don't do things because they're comfortable for you. Do things because God leads you to do them, whether you like it or not. I ended up in a city that I did not like originally. I did not like as a child. My parents used to go vacation in Miami. And by the second day, I was ready to leave. I did not like Miami. And that is the first place that the Lord sent me to minister after I got out of the Marine Corps. And I fought it. I said, Lord, please, you know better than that, you know? And he did. He knew better than that. He sent me there, you know? And I went. I was obedient. And though I didn't like being there, the Lord just showered me with blessings. Why? Because I was obedient. Not because I deserved it, really, but just obedience, you know? When your kids want something, right, and they're not behaving properly, do you get them what they want? I didn't. But let me tell you, when my children behave the way they were supposed to, when they honor God by honoring their parents, man, I showered them with whatever they wanted, as long as it wasn't harmful to them, of course. But you know, that's the same way God is. If we're obedient, God is just going to open the floodgates of heaven. Let me tell you, this is not, the Word says it, but this is also experience telling you this, because I've been rebellious also against the Lord, and it's been a tough road. I've never been found begging for bread, because the Word says, you'll never find my children begging for bread. But it was rough. I'm talking about day-to-day living until I fell back into obedience unto him. Verse 2 says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Listen, every single one of you right here, you might be a U.S. citizen by birth or by desire like I am, okay? However, I'm no longer a citizen of the U.S. I am a citizen of heaven. I am an ambassador of the Lord here on this earth. I'm here on a work permit, basically, on a visa that he gives me. And when he's done with me here, he's going to call me home. Each and every one of us is in the same boat here. If you know Christ and you call yourself a Christian, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. But don't copy the behaviors of the world just because, you know, and you see a lot of churches today doing that. They're bringing the world into the church to attract people instead of taking the church out into the world to give them salvation. And that's why you see the mega churches, not because there's a lot of Christians in the mega churches. I'm not going to tell you they're not. But there's a lot of people also there that they're there because, you know, their ears are being scratched. Oh, come on, you know, here, let me play with your ear lobe a little bit. And they don't get that fullness of the word. And I've been a part of a mega church, and most of my feeding came from my time alone with the Lord. And it's still that way in a small church that I'm at right now. You know, the feeding has to come from you being into the Word on a daily basis. That's the main application that I could give you today. Be in the Word every day. I was sharing with somebody here today that I started doing it this year, by the way. I haven't been doing this all my life, but I send out a text to most of my family members, some of them blocked me out of it. But I send a text every day with a devotional every morning for them. And the devotional is not the time that I'm spending with the Lord for myself. After I'm done with my time with him, I ask him, I said, Lord, what do you want me to tell my family today? And there's two young men also included in there that I'm mentoring, right? And I asked the Lord, I said, what do you want me to send? And every time it's a different thing than what I'm reading. Why? Because my needs are not your needs. My needs are totally different. And he knows what their needs are. So he speaks to them through the devotional. And through that, you know, not all of them are close to the Lord. But, well, my wife is part of that. But excluding my wife, I have one granddaughter that had walked away from the Lord. And she's got four kids of her own. And now she's on fire for the Lord, her and her husband both. And they're doing devotions with their kids every night before they go to bed. And my wife and my granddaughter get on the phone, FaceTime, and they do a devotional. You know, a woman's devotional for them because my wife's mentoring my granddaughter. She's allowing my wife to mentor her because you can't mentor somebody that doesn't want to get mentored. You know, you have to have. Sometimes in the church we tend to try to connect people for mentoring. You know, and I cannot come and mentor anybody if you don't want to be a mentor. So you be aware of that. But be a mentor, you know, because every Timothy needs a Paul. Every Timothy needs a Paul. And be a Timothy, even as you're mentoring somebody. Be a Timothy because learning never stops. You know, Pastor John, was one of my professors in the School of Ministry. And I had already been pastoring for 30 plus years when I went to the School of Ministry. And I went to school before I came there. But there's always new things that you learn. Every day you have to get up and say, Lord, what do you have to teach me today? What's new for my life? Because the more you learn, the closer you get to the Lord. And the closer you get to the Lord, the closer you get to heaven. You know, your time in heaven. And that's the thing that you want to do. It goes on to say, but let God transform you into a new person, which is what we were talking about at the beginning. We have all been made a new person through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Every single one of us. That means that our habits have to change because our habits changing is the evidence of what has taken place in our lives. I cannot call myself a Christian and do the things that I was doing before I came to Christ. Because as I shared with you, I was not going in the right direction. I was not hanging out with the right crowd. Everything in my life was really a disaster as I look back on it. You know, because I had different goals. My goal was to be rich, to be a millionaire, whatever it took, you know, whatever it took. I didn't care what it took. I was going to be that by the age of 30. And as I met my wife and I saw that the direction that I was going to get to my goals, right, I realized this is not going to get me a lot of time with my wife because I'm going to end up either dead or in jail. So I had to change. I had to change direction. My life had to change. My being had to change. And that was the Lord changing me because I can't do it myself, but he can. It goes out to say, by changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. God's will for you is perfect and is good and is pleasing, not just to God, but to you. His ways, let me tell you, through the worst storm that you can go in your life, right? If you are connected to God, let me tell you what. You do the things that God wants you to do, and no matter how big the storm is, it's going to be pleasing to you and it's going to be pleasing to God because he's going to give you shalom peace, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. You're going to look at it and you're going to say, why did this happen to me? And when you say that, God is going to say, be still. Be still. I'm God. I can handle this. I got it. Let your life be a response to who he is and what he has done in your life. You have to, this is the practical, this is the application that I'm going to give you here. I'm going to give you a few things. You know, let your life be a response to who he is and what he has done in your life. Look back at your life. It's always good to examine our lives, not just our day, but our lives. Because when we examine our lives, man, we realize what God has dragged us out of. And sometimes he dragged us kicking, and screaming because we don't want to let it go. But he has. You know, we talk about addictions. There's hundreds of addictions out there that people don't realize that they're addictions. You know, and one of the worst ones today, people talk about alcohol and drugs. One of the worst addictions today is the internet. It drags you and it takes you down. Granted that the internet could be a good tool if you use it properly. But man, there's people that my granddaughter, for example, I'll use her since she's not here. One of the things she had was the internet. The internet was taking up all her time. And she, when she started reading the devotionals, she decided she was going to put a clock to see how long she spent on the average on the internet. She spent 8.5 hours on the internet doing something that was not of work because she works from home. Okay, so she's got to use the internet. But she used an additional 8.5 hours a day. She was getting no sleep because she was constantly on there, you know, looking at things. It's horrible, you know. And people think, oh, well, alcohol and drugs. Well, yeah, they are addictions also. But, man, there's a lot of things out there, family, that will destroy you and your family if you don't take it under control. The other thing is, let your desires be a praise to Him. Everything, if they are not, everything in your life has to be, a praise to Him. If they are not, then you have to find a way to redirect it. You have to find a way to redirect your desires. Let your dreams be praise to Him. You know, we all have goals, we have dreams, things that we want to do and get accomplished, but let them be godly dreams. Let them be things that He has put in your heart, not things that you have seen somebody else have that you want. One of the things that I remember from me is, oh man, that's a nice car. I'm going to go get me one of those. Just because somebody else had it. Well, today I see somebody get a nice car. Wow, man, that's really sweet. I like that a lot. And that's it. I'm happy with what I have, you know. But it used to be different. And that's what I'm talking about. Change of heart. God changes your heart when you come to Him. Let your thoughts be a praise to Him as well. If they're not, then you got to find a way to redirect Him. And I'm going to be transparent with you. That's my hardest thing right there. Sometimes my thoughts. Because that's where the enemy comes in. You know, the enemy cannot come into your heart because Holy Spirit is there. But your thoughts sometimes, you get caught off guard because there's moments where you disconnect, you know, the heart from the brain because you get so busy. And then all of a sudden, pow, there it is. And when that happens, oh, be careful. Be very careful because your thoughts, your mind's going to get infected. You know, and that's my biggest battle. You know, we all have a thorn on our side, whether we want to admit it or not. Each and every one of us have a thorn on our side. That is mine right there. You know, and I have to rebuke it constantly. That's the best way to get rid of bad thoughts is you rebuke them in the name of Jesus. You tell it, go away in the name of Jesus. You don't belong here. You don't belong in my head in the name of Jesus. And you kick them out. You do the same thing. If you see something like that inside your house, you do the same thing. when I have people coming over my house, let's say somebody's coming out to do some work, right? Before they get there, as soon as they knock on the door, I say, Lord, whatever they have that is not of you, let it stay outside the door. Do not let it come in. I never invite the enemy into my house. And I'm always rebuking the enemy from my house. Even sometimes when there's people that come because they have an issue and they want to sit down and talk it over with me, no, Lord, the moment they step on this land, Lord, let that problem be outside of the land. I don't even want it in my front door. Let it be outside. Let it stay outside. And if they want to pick it up on the way out, it's theirs, you know. If they want to leave it there, it stays outside. But you have to protect your home. You have to protect your family. You know, when you see your kids doing something that's out of context for them, pay attention. Make sure that it's not that is just a momentary thing, because we all have our moments, you know. But make sure that that's all it is, you know, and keep an eye on them. You have to protect them. Those little ones have been given to you to raise. They don't belong to you. They belong to the Lord, you know. That's why when a child passes, you know, when a child dies, they go straight to heaven because they belong to the Lord. Until they hear the word and they're accountable, then not for what they heard. They belong to the Lord. So you got to protect them. You got to protect them because they have been given to you to protect, to raise, and to teach. Think of things that are bringing him glory and pleasing his heart is one of the things you got to do. You got to put your mind on it. Let your life be a praise to God. Your relationships, obedience, faith, and trust, they all have to belong to God. The way you act and the way you react has to be a godly way when you were with others. In your frustrations and your fears, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and your frustrations and your fears will go away. There's 365 times that is written in the Bible, fear not. Fear not. 365 times for 365 days. There's a fear not for every day of the year. So stick to that. In your joy and laughter, praise the Lord. In your highs and your lows, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because even in your lows, he's going to get you out of there. In light of all that he has, that he is, you got to praise him. Because you through your praise, you recognize who he is. You recognize what he has done. You show your thankfulness for what he has done for you in your praise. A lot of people think that praise and worship is just singing, and it's not. It's everything you do. When we come to this table, this is praise and worship. We're remembering the Lord, and we're honoring His memory, what he left for us to remember him. He says, do this in remembrance of me. So you honor him, and when you honor him, you're praising him. When you sing, you're praising him. When you read when you read the word on your own, you're praising him. Everything you do as a believer has to be a praise unto the Lord. Has to be worship, you know. When you lift up your hands, you know, for a song that touches your heart, you're worshiping and praising him. When you go down on your knees because a song touches your heart, or maybe even the preacher might be saying something that you all of a sudden trigger something in your heart, and you want to drop to your knees right there on the spot, praise the Lord. Worship the Lord. So in light of all that he is, all that he's done, all that he's promised, his promises, he's not gonna back out on his promises. He's made promises to us. He's, you know, in everything that he does, in everything that he has done, everything he's going to do, praise the Lord. You know, he's worthy to be praised. He is very worthy to be praised. So, preparing to close, let me ask you this question. How can you adjust, you don't have to answer obviously, but how can you adjust your habits and priorities to give God praise? And that was the question that triggered my mind to change the message last night. How can I adjust my life and my habits to and my priorities to give God the praise and the glory and the honor and to worship him in everything that I do? Well, you can get very creative to do this. Okay, there's hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of things you could do to do this, right? I'm going to give you three easy ones to get you started, okay? The first one, you can worship on your commute. I was coming here. For me, it's a beautiful drive. It's an hour and 20 minutes from my house, and it's such a beautiful drive because I turn the radio on to Christian music. Sometimes I turn it to a more to a contemporary setting. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I go back to my hymns because I love my hymns. You know, it all depends. But I sing along with it, and I'm not a singer. Let me tell you. I'm one of those guys. I'm a tenor. You know, I sing 10 or 12 miles away so nobody else can hear me. But the Lord says, right, that when it reaches him, it's all a sweet sound to his ear. Why? Because, man, he's looking at his child. He says, oh, Louis, look how beautiful you sing. Just like we do with our kids as they're growing up, right? They're singing, oh, that's so beautiful. And somebody else that don't know your kids go, oof, you know? But to you is a beautiful sound, right? And that's the way God is with us. He hears us singing. You know, he hears us praying. It doesn't matter to him. He just wants us to do it. You know? And he rejoices in the fact that we do it. So the other one is you got to prioritize gathering on Sundays with other believers. Church. Church needs to be a priority in all of our lives. Now, does that mean that we have to, no matter what, be at church every Sunday? Maybe you might not agree with me on this, but it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. But it means that you don't stay home just because, oh, I don't feel like going to church today. Church has to be a priority. Why? Because look at your family. Turn around and look at each other. This is your family. And sometimes you don't see your family. I have family in California that I speak to them once every couple of weeks. Sometimes you don't see your family throughout the week. You don't know what's going on in their lives. And you know what? As families, we have to know what's going on in each other's life. It's a need for us to know. Why? Because there is strength in the unity of the Spirit that is within us. And if any of you are going through anything, and I find out about it, I'm going to start praying for you. I'm going to start praying that God comforts you, that God brings you. And if God may speak to me and say, oh, go and do this for them. And it doesn't matter whether you're in this church or whether you're a New Covenant, you know, or whether you're a Nuevo Pacto, which is what I'm a part of. I'm a part of the Spanish ministry there, New Covenant. And it's two different churches, you know, but they meet in the same building. And they carry the same name, one in Spanish, one in English, you know. But it doesn't matter which one. When I moved from the English-speaking service to the Spanish-speaking service, I went and spoke to the pastor, obviously, and to the associate pastor. And I told him, I said, listen, I just feel a strong pull from the Lord to go and help out with the Spanish church. And the main pastor just said to me, he looked at me, he said, well, you know, I don't see you leaving. I just see you as going to a different ministry. And that's all it is. We're going to a different ministry. Me leaving the church doesn't mean that that's not my family anymore. So, you know, make church a priority in your lives. And make it a priority where you invite people. If, you know, the best way to invite people is, hey, you don't want to come to church with me? If they say, no, I don't want to drive, I'll pick you up. And, you know, get up an extra 15 minutes earlier or whatever you need to and go pick him up and bring him with you to church. Because a lot of times that's what it takes. That's what it took for me. Somebody that insisted on me going to church with them one day said, listen, I'm just going to pick you up. And I said, well, if I go to church with you this time, you leave me alone for the rest of my life and you don't talk to me about church anymore. I grew up going to Catholic school, so I knew religion all my life. You know, I knew about the Trinity. I knew it right here, but there was none over here. You know, so anyways, the guy took me to church, and the rest is history. Because that same day, I could not wait to run up to that altar and pray with the pastor to receive Christ as he was talking. So you know, invite him, bring him if you have to. You know, and if not, do a Bible study with them once every couple of weeks. Just sit down and read the Bible with them and say, hey, let's talk about the Bible a little bit and what the Bible says. Maybe you get a better understanding of it. And sit down with them over coffee, and just share with them. But that, we are called to make disciples. We are called to make disciples. Remember that. And then the third thing is, and then we'll be closing there with a closing prayer. Start and end your day with gratitude. Start your day by giving God thanks for the day, and end the day with giving thanks to God for the day. And somewhere in between, do a self-check and say, okay, Lord, what am I giving you thanks for at the end of the day? What did I do that was right? And what did you do in my life to change what was wrong? Because let me tell you, God will change you if you're wrong, if you allow him to. So my invitation to you today would be to praise the Lord. Praise him constantly. No matter where you're at, no matter what your situation is, if we have to live in this world, but always remember that you are not of this world. You are of heaven. You belong to God. You're his child. And as his child, he wants the best for you. But the only way to get the best for yourself from God is by being obedient. And that's the only thing that God demands from us. Obviously, we're not going to be obedient if we don't receive Christ. But once we receive Christ, the only thing that he says, all I want you to be is obedient. How do you become obedient to God? You read the Word, because the Word is going to be your manual, your instructions on how to live. Read the Proverbs. You want wisdom? You want to know how to live, how to make a difference in this world? Read the Proverbs. Every month. I read the Proverbs at least every other month. I go through it day by day. And I listen to it on the radio. There's a station I forget the station right now, but there's a station that they read the proverb of the day every day. And that's one way. If you look in here, you'll see Proverbs is where I got all my notes, most of my notes. So you have to do that. You have to gain wisdom. You have to gain understanding. And you have to surrender yourself. That's my invitation. Surrender. Be obedient. Give God your whole being, not just part of it. Don't close out any parts of your heart to him. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you today for this opportunity, Lord, to come before your throne. Father, my prayer is that, Father, the words that have been spoken here today, that anything that was for me, Father God, that you would just erase it and leave the stuff that is from you, Father God. That we would come to a deeper understanding of who you are and what you want for us, Father God. That we would come to a deeper understanding of where do you want us at, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this congregation, Father God. I thank you for them. I thank you for the blessing that they are to me every time I'm here, Father God. And I just ask you that you open the doors, Father God, in their lives, Father God. Continue to be a provider for them, Lord God. And I pray, Father God, that this place will be full the next time that I come here, Father God, that it will be full of people that want to serve you, Lord, that want to serve the community, Father God, that want to tell the world who you are, that it will be full of people that are willing to go out and make disciples, Lord. Thank you, Father, for Pastor John, for the friendship that I have with him, Lord God. I ask you that you will continue to develop that relationship, Father God, and grow it. And I pray, Father God, that he would be making an impact where he's at, Lord. I pray that those that go through Emmaus, Father, to the Road to Emmaus retreat, Father God, that they will take it to heart and they would understand deeper. If they already know Jesus, they would understand him deeper. And if they don't, Father God, they have been invited without knowing Jesus, with the purpose of maybe introducing them, that they will come to know Jesus, or that nobody will walk out of there without Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us, Father God. Thank you for the way you just hold our hands, Father, through life. I pray that we never let go of your hand, Father God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.